Thank you so much for that nice introduction, meaningful prayer, and for all those who served on the praise team and the musicians tonight, thank you for your involvement. And I want to thank you for honoring God with your presence here tonight. This is a delightful turnout on a night where there are some other significant happenings going on. And many perhaps took the opportunity not to attend service, wondering if the message might go a bit long and they wouldn't get back for opening kickoff. You will be home by opening kickoff, I can assure you. But it is true. It's good to look into the faces of people we know from the school community, from the Byron Center community, from our condo community right next door here. And I cannot resist, having said that it takes us exactly 1 minute to get here. I'd not been with you before, I don't think, and wondering how in the world I came to stand before you here tonight, but I cannot resist. I know a member of your council, he's not here, of course, he's down south, but Dick Vanderwall, and yesteryear, Dick and I delivered appliances together. His father owned that Town and Country, Mr. Vanderwall outfit there, and we did that. We had a lot of fun with each other. And did a little bit more of humorous talk than anything else. And I could not help but imagine if it came up who we're going to have to fill the pulpit, that Dick might say, there's this Compagner guy. He lives close by. He's not much good, but he's, I think, a little cheaper than others. We don't have to pay mileage for him. So that's my suggestion, and you can pass that along to him. I want to say that over the course of my years in ministry, I've read a variety of periodicals and picked up an article here, an article there, that I was blessed by. And I put them in a separate file, kind of a sermon file, thinking sometime I'm going to bring a sermon on this particular thought or article. And tonight we get the result of such a reading. Came in Christianity Today some time ago now. Was an article entitled, Can God Be Trusted? Can God Be Trusted? Reflections on Psalm 91. I want to read that psalm for us at this time. Psalm 91. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty, and will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, He is my fortress, He is my God in whom I trust. Surely he will save you from the fowler's snare, from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord, who is my refuge, then no harm will befall you. No disaster will come near your tent. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up on their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and serpent. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call upon me. I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him. I will honor him. With long life I will satisfy him. I will show him my salvation. Heavenly Father, I pray now that you will help us to put aside all the thoughts of the past week and all of our plans for the coming week and all of our considerations, what will happen by way of a football game tonight, and that you will allow us to listen, to hear what the Spirit has to say to our heart and to our soul tonight. May we come to appreciate anew the blessing of living under God's Christ's name, my prayer. Amen. That, dear friends, is indeed the theme of the message tonight, living under God's wings. Many and most of us here, I think, can recall a time, perhaps from earlier in life, our childhood, when we were particularly safe and secure, where we felt loved. We were in our parents' home, of course, and that was a wonderful place to be. We were content. We were safe. Now, not all children, young persons, of course, can identify with that. We live in a broken world. You know the possibilities. But for many, and I suspect for many, and most of us seated here tonight, we can think back to a life when we were yet, as they say, in the nest. Few, if any, worries. A great feeling. A great feeling. There was a truck driver once, age 50 or so, on a television show. He was asked a question. If you could be any age you would choose to be, what might that age be? He had to ponder that for a bit. This burly-looking guy spent much of his life on the road. What would it be now, 50? Might it be 65 or so? He would be then done then with the grind and the road and all those crazies out there, which sometimes drove him crazy himself. Might it be retirement? Or might it be earlier in life, going back to 15, 16, 17, when he could undo some of the foolish things he had done and make some wiser choices in regard to a mate his marriage had not worked out, or perhaps a job, whatever? After some time, this truck driver, he made his choice. If it were up to him, said he, he would choose to be age 3, age 3. When asked why that might be, he says, well, when you're age 3, you have no responsibilities. The man had a point. When you're age 3 and you live in a good family situation, life is pretty easy. In wintertime, you really don't worry about ice backing up under your shingles, or come springtime, heavy rainfall of water building up in your basement. That numbing or tingling in your arm or your leg, you have no concerns about things such as that. Aging issues, stock market ups and downs, doesn't concern you at all when you're 3. Words like ISIS and Taliban, Ebola, Zika, all those things mean nothing to you. When you're age 3, you simply play freely. You sleep soundly. You live under your parents' roof, beneath their wings, may I say. And life is good. Life is good. Whatever the problem, whatever the need, they'll somehow resolve it and deal with it. That 50-year-old driver had seemingly made a wise choice. But there's an issue, of course. No one person can remain age 3. You move on from there. You become an adult in time. And as you become an adult, you still have that need for security, the need to be loved, the need to know that there's someone in charge and that it's going to be okay when it appears that things are not okay at all. Where do you find that security? As you grow older, God has a word for us, a word of comfort. One of the great themes of the Bible is that God is our shelter, and our refuge. The verse I read from Psalm 91 tonight, he will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. Tremendous verse. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you are going to find refuge. The image here, of course, is that of a bird. A bird. Maybe an eagle, known for its powerful protecting wings. Maybe it's a mother hen or a chicken. somewhat known for its nurturing kinds of wings. Whatever the bird, it is well known that when an enemy approaches or when danger is lurking near, a bird will instinctively just spread its wings over its young to protect them, to nurture them, to keep them safe. I read that that instinct is so powerful that even when there are no young any longer to protect, when there is danger near or an enemy approaches, the bird will yet spread its wings. The psalm writer, I suspect, understands that instinct. That behavior of a bird reminds him of God. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. You will find safety, security, shelter, love, life. Even as I make that statement, I must share with you an observation from my earlier years of life, growing up in a farming community to the west here a bit. It was on a particular Sunday in October of year 1960 that our farm burned down. The barn, all the chicken houses, it all went away while we were at church. The house was saved in the car garage. Everything else was gone. And along with it, every hog and every chicken that we owned, the family income was suddenly gone. Devastating loss. I remember it so vividly, that fire rising up into the sky as we drove home from church. It's one other thing I remember very vividly. It was the next morning when everything destroyed. Lo and behold, there were a few chicks moving around. And I wondered, how did you live? How did you survive? And I think you know. There was a mother, spread her wings, sacrificed herself to protect, give safety to those young. God, he will cover you with his feathers. Under his wings, you will find refuge. I read in this regard that during wartime, World War II, when the German troops were invading Holland, and the air sirens would sound announcing that the bombers were near, that parents would then collect their children and move to the inner part of a house, often a hallway. And then they would pray the words of Psalm 91, asking God to spread his wings over them, to keep them safe. I remember vividly, again, on that farm situation, we had some devastating tornadoes back then. Realizing that a tornado could lead to death, as happened in that Hudsonville area, when the siren went off again, we would gather at a certain place in our basement, a certain corner of that basement, with our family in a cement block enclosure there. We felt safe in that area, and our Father would then offer a prayer, as it were asking God to protect us, to spread his wings over us. And we felt a peace that I cannot describe. Being in a safe place, yes, but being beneath the wings of God. But sometimes we wonder, do we not? Just how secure are we really beneath those wings of God? What assurance can we have that having prayed and having taken whatever safety precautions, that no evil will now befall us? The psalm writer seems so adamant, does he not? Verse 5 there, being beneath the wings of God, he says, you will not then fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. You will not fear. A bit later, verse 9, psalmist says, if you make the Most High your dwelling, even that Lord who is my refuge, then no harm will befall you. No disaster will come near your tent. Great promise. Seems almost too good to be true, doesn't it? And seemingly, it doesn't always fit reality. We wonder about the Apostle Paul, Acts chapter 16, preaching, threats, he prays. But he ends up in prison there in Philippi. We think of Stephen earlier, I think it's Acts chapter 7. A man of God, doing the will of God, preaching boldly, praying. And yet we find him under a pile of stones after a while, a dead man. And we wonder about those Dutch families who went into that inner part of their house, who prayed fervently for God to protect them, but then the bombs fell on their house and on their lives. There was much ruin. And I can think of those tornadoes coming. They didn't always jump over the house or the place where God's righteous people were living and where prayers had been offered. And let's be honest, those drunk drivers, they don't always avoid hitting people who are innocent and righteous, do they? And that child being formed within a womb and so coveted and so deeply desired, so many prayers offered, it's never a guarantee, is it, that that child will live? No. Oh, admittedly, sometimes we act quite foolishly, do we not? We take no precautions. We don't observe danger signs. The sign maybe when we go camping, wherever. We're not to feed the wild animals, clearly said. Some people do so anyway. Pay a price for that. There are those who go down to Lake Michigan here. The red flag is flying. We know what that means. Severe undertow. Essentially stay out of the water, but some people do not do that. They go in anyway. With some very tragic results. The clear statement, I believe. Noted, smoking will be a hazard to your health. Many people just disregard that. They do so anyway. We all observe in Michigan with its hills, there's yellow lines. We know what that says, what that means, what we're supposed to do. But I observe it again and again that people will pull right out in a yellow line and pass, acting foolishly. Maybe expecting God to bail them out. And God may do that in his mercy. But I want to say tonight, we cannot and we should not expect him to do so. Maybe you recall the temptations of Jesus in the wilderness. Satan used the words of Psalm 91. He took Jesus, you remember, to the highest point of the temple. He said to Jesus, throw yourself down, do it. The Bible says God will give his angels control or charge over you to guard you in all your ways. And Jesus rightfully tells Satan, Matthew 4, verse 6, that it is not right to put God to the test. If I may paraphrase, Jesus is saying, don't act like a fool and then count on God to somehow rescue you. Don't use Psalm 91 or any other scripture that way. but sometimes, sometimes, God's good people act not foolishly, but wisely. They make good choices. They walk obediently. They pursue holiness. They dwell beneath the wings of God. And yet, they have to deal with brain cancer, maybe. Or a broken marriage, perhaps. Or infertility or some other evil. So much trouble, so much trial. And we wonder then, what about Psalm 91? And those promises of God found there. One writer states, and I agree with this writer, that Psalm 91 expresses one of the loveliest and most treasured moods of faith. It's the mood of confidence, extreme confidence in the sheltering providence, care of God for his dear children. Maybe as the psalm writer is writing Psalm 91, that he had been in a situation of danger, and God had wonderfully protected him and provided for him in that situation. And he is so grateful now. He is celebrating. He writes a psalm. His confidence is high. He blesses God for who he is and for what he's done. But there are other moods, are there not? And other kinds of psalms reflecting other kinds of days, may I say, darker days. Psalm 22 comes to mind. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me? From the voice of my groaning, where are you, God? Psalm 42. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why are you so disquieted within me? The words of God's good children, those who love him deeply. God's children have had these days as well. We believe with all of our heart, yet we're disturbed, maybe discouraged. Psalm 91, filled with confidence, or shall I say, with kind of a quiet amazement, the way God has rescued and cared for. Under the wings of God, good things, such good things happen to people, frankly, so undeserving and yet so sinful. That happens. But in other psalms, living under those very same wings of God, evil things happen. Evil things. To people who are so good, so righteous. When Psalm 91 says that no harm shall befall you, no disaster will come near your tent, I think we have to conclude that the meaning is this. That no final evil will befall us. Because all of us seated here tonight know well that we can love the Lord our God with all of our heart. We can trust him fully. And yet we can have our heart broken by the loss of a child, by the betrayal of a spouse, the onset of a fatal disease, premature widowhood, or. We know this to be true. We do. And yet, for generation after generation, God's dear saints and his beloved children have known something else. Whatever the trial, whatever the trouble, whatever the valley, whatever the hardship, whatever the danger they had to go through, there was that hand of God, that hand of God that they felt. There was that voice of God speaking to them through His Word. There was that peace of God which transcended all understanding that was somehow guarding their hearts in that situation. There was that love of God from which they could not and would never be separated. They knew that. Nothing the devil could throw their way could rob them of that peace, that assurance, that security. They were safe and secure. They were sheltered in the arms of God. Lewis Smedes, one of my favorite authors, he asked the question in a book he wrote with that very title, how can it be all right when everything is all wrong? How can it be all right when everything is all wrong? It can be, says Dr. Smedes, if Christ is our Lord and Savior. If God, the Almighty, is our loving Father. And if we live beneath His wings. Wings that will never break or fold. Wings that will never forsake His own. There's a hymn writer, I think, says it well. In an old, old hymn, I love it. Maybe you recall, some of you, the words. Under His wings, oh, what precious enjoyment. There will I hide until life's trials are o'er. Sheltered, protected, no evil can harm me. Resting in Jesus, I'm safe. I will be blessed forever. Living beneath the wings of God, which are wings of love. There is blessing indeed in living beneath those wings. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Oh God, I pray tonight that we may come to live, each one of us, whether younger or older, beneath Your wings, covered by Your feathers, that we may know, even in the storms and stresses of life, a peace, a comfort, a love, a security that can come only from You. Lord, bring each person here tonight to a position of faith, to a personal faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and then to that point of trust and surrender to the confession, the Lord, the Lord. He is my Savior. He is my refuge. He is my fortress. He is my God, in whom I trust. We move into a new week now. It's a week filled, as with every week, with plans and projects and activities. Yet, it could be a week filled with some surprises too for us. Things we cannot see, but You already do, O God. I pray that we may come to live in this week beneath Your wings, that we may dwell in the shadow of the Almighty, that we may rest there, and resting there that we can live this week with peace, with strength, with a deep and abiding joy because of who You are. Because of Psalm 91, my prayer in Christ's name, amen.